through their nemenoscopes and watch this ember cool and fade. I choose to attack that world and no other. The question they first asked, as the warships passed them by, had now been answered. For the lesson of it. Tobeld did not dwell on this, as he moved around the lee of the temporary pergolas set up beneath the wings of the tethered stormbirds, hearing the mutter of conversation among the warriors around him, amid the snap of guy ropes and wind-pulled fabric. Messages were already coming in from the ships in orbit. The other worlds, the orbital platforms, the system defense fleet, all were surrendering. 12 planets teeming with people, giving up their freedom without a single word of defiance. Lesson learned. The taking of the Gyges system had been a swift and almost cursory thing. Doubtless, in decades to come, it would be less than a postscript in the annals of the war. No casualties of note had been taken by the war fleet. None that mattered to the architect of the conflict that this small venture was but a fragment of. Gyges was merely a stone in the path. A path that began in the Istvan system and wound its way across the galaxy towards Terra. Gyges was a passing footstep, beneath which the blood of millions left no mark. By conventional battle logic, there was no reason for any of the invaders to even step onto the surface. Yet still they had come, in this small party, for reasons that could only be guessed at. Tobeld stifled a cough with his hand, pushing the thick robe of his hood to his face to muffle the sound. It came away wet, and he tasted copper in his mouth. The radiation had killed him the moment he stepped out from the shuttle. Him and the other serfs brought down from the flagship in order to serve the invaders. The serfs would all be dead before sunset. He knew he would share that fate, but it was a price worth paying. In the dimness of his dormitory capsule back on the warship, Tobeld had used a quarter of the elements of his weapons kit to fabricate a strong dosage of counter-radiation drugs. The rest he had turned to the building of the compound that nestled inside the finger-long glass vial strapped to the inside of his wrist. He had done his best to dispose of the remnants of the kit, but he was afraid some trace might still be discovered, and the counter-rads were working poorly. He had little time. He passed behind the engine bells of a dropship, and through the black haze he spied the largest of the tents, a low pavilion made of non-reflective cloth. For a second, the wind snapped at the entrance flap and showed him a glimpse of things inside. He saw what might have been firelight jumping and moving off slabs of polished ceramite armor, and wet shapes like animated falls of blood. Then the breeze passed on, and the sight was lost to him. Still, the confusion of impressions made him shiver. Tobeld hesitated. He would need to cross open ground to get from the Stormbird to the pavilion, and he could not afford to be challenged. He was entering the terminal stage of his mission now, after so long. There could be no mistakes. No one had come this close before. He could not risk failure. Tobeld took a shaky, tainted breath. He had sacrificed a solar year of his life to this mission, breaking out from under a cover he had spent half a decade building as a minor Nobelite clan cook functionary. He had willingly discarded that carefully crafted disguise to embrace a new one. Such was the gravity of his new mission. And through cautious steps, with doses of poisons both subtle and coarse to smooth his path, Tobeld had made his way into service aboard the battle cruiser Vengeful Spirit, the flagship of Horus Lupercal. 2 years had passed since the betrayal at Istvan, the bloody backstabbing that opened the way to Horus's insurrection against the Imperium and his father, the Emperor of Mankind. In that time, his steady progression across the galaxy had gathered momentum. As this day showed, every system that passed beneath the keel of Horus's warships either swore fealty